After Mr. Armstrong died, we had board meetings. And in these meetings, one of the men would speak, and he would give acronyms. Every so often, he would just throw in this acronym that was really kind of meaningless, but it he wouldn't explain it. He would just kind of go along, and then somebody would have to say on the board, well, what does that mean? You see, and that gave him a kind of a boost. Oh, what does it mean? Like, oh, you don't know. I know. Therefore, I got a superior knowledge over you. So it was a little bit of pomposity, okay? So today, I am going to speak on C, D, T, and C of M and their dangers. Yes. So you don't think that I don't want to fall within this category of being, you know, pompous. So I'm going to explain without anybody asking what this means, okay? It stands for commandments, doctrines, traditions, and creeds of men. And creeds of men. Now, I can't keep repeating this, otherwise I would chew up my whole sermon in explaining or talking commandments, doctrines, traditions, and creeds of men. So legally, what we do when we have a long phrase like that or something, and we're going to draft a contract, and Mr. Darden can confirm this, we give the name, commandments, doctrines, traditions, and creeds of men, hereinafter referred to as the doctrines of men. So when I use doctrines of men, it encompasses all those terms and words, okay? So what are some of the spiritual dangers that stem from following the doctrines of men? In Colossians 2, 8 and verse 18, Colossians 2, verses 8 and 18, Paul said, beware. Now, this word is used occasionally in different forms, one way or the other. And if you were driving down the freeway going 80 miles an hour and somebody shouted out, beware, and started to point, you know, you didn't hear the rest of it, you would slow down and say, I got to hear this. I want to hear what this warning is. Maybe the road ends out there. Maybe the road's washed out. Maybe there's a big barrier. So Paul says, beware. So that should put up some red flags. Lest you be cheated. Cheated. Something you got and you're cheated out of it. You don't feel good about that when that happens, right? Be cheated out of your reward. Now we know the reward. We've heard sermons on that. When Jesus returns, he's going to pass out the reward. Very, very precious items. Not as precious as becoming a son or daughter of God, but precious nevertheless. And he says, beware lest you be cheated out of them. Now, how can a man cheat you out of your reward? How is that possible? Colossians 2:8, through philosophy and empty deceit. Philosophy and empty deceit. You see, now philosophy, that's thinking and considering something, pondering it with logic and reasoning, but it's apart from God's word. That's the philosophy. I went to a Catholic law school, and we talked many times with the students that were taking philosophy, and they just talked about this emptiness, emptiness, where if I kick something, Aristotle says, well, you kicked it, but you really didn't kick it, because it's only an image or concept in heaven. And they would ponder this. What does this mean? See, wasted time. See, deceit. It says philosophy and empty deceit. Now, deceit is a representation. Something is true. Something is true, like this car only has 500 miles on it, where really it got 50,000, right? So deceit is a representation, that's a physical example, that something is true when it's known to be false. Now, it's interesting here, Paul didn't say just deceit. He said empty deceit is leading you to lose your reward. Empty deceit, see? And empty deceit is something that's absolutely, totally, without even a scintilla of truth. That's the smallest amount. So that's what can lead you to lose your reward. See, what men have to say, the philosophy of men. So what is the source of this philosophy and empty deceit? Colossians 2:8 tells us the traditions of men. Traditions of men. There's some interesting books out by Friedman, and he talks about that all through history. These churches have come up with their creeds and their doctrines based upon falsehoods, but they last for hundreds of years, you see. See, and to go on with that, Colossians 2:22, you see, what is it talking about now in this philosophy and deceit? He calls it the commandments and doctrines of men. Colossians 2, verse 22, the commandments and doctrines of men. Now, another example of the spiritual danger that comes from following the doctrines of men is found in Matthew 16:5-12. And there again, remember Paul said, beware? Jesus warned his disciples about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, doctrines of men. It's not the fact that they were of any particular ethnic persuasion. It's the idea they were men, human beings, you see. Now, Jesus warned them as to the source of such doctrines and the dire consequence of being duped into believing these doctrines of men. And he said in Matthew 15:4-9, those people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Well, that's good, isn't it? But their heart is far from me. You see, it gave a false means of worshiping God. But their heart is far from me. And in vain, do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You see, that's why some churches, you know, as we talked about before you come in, oh, let's say now, you remember the burning bush, it's holy ground, so we'll all take our shoes off out there now, right? That's what we'll do. And we'll do this. We'll sprinkle this water. That's the sprinkling of water. The Bible talks about sprinkling of water, so we'll sprinkle with water. They just make up things before you go in the church and so on. And you got to do a certain gesticulation or so on. But it's in vain. In vain. What does in vain mean? No useful purpose. Just wasting your time. That's because rather than following God's word, they follow the doctrines and commandments of men, or the doctrines of men. Now, another example of the spiritual danger that comes from being duped into following the doctrines of men is found in Titus 1:14. It says, do not give heed to the Jewish fables. And again, I don't want to knock a religion here, or the Jews there, or the fact they're scribes, or so on. They're men. But here they just talk about a particular one, Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. Think about that. You got the truth of God. It's in your Bible. You've been taught it, you see? And then somebody comes along and they teach fables and commandments of men, and they turn you from that precious truth that you've learned, you see. 2 Timothy 4:4 picks up on that. And the people turn their ears away from the truth. The truth is coming this way, and they don't want to get it in their ears. They turn away, and they're turned aside to fables to fables. We talked about things that are not true, you see, little stories and so on, which we'll touch upon. So when it comes to truth, John 17:17, we have to have in mind Jesus' prayer, amongst his last prayer to God the Father. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify, set aside for a holy purpose. The beautiful result of following God's word, as we read from the Bible, from the scriptures, we are set aside by God for a holy purpose. It says, your word is truth. Doesn't leave any doubt. You want the truth? You go to God's word. That's where you have to be discerning. See, in Psalms 119, verses 160. Now, David teaches us, it's interesting, here he adds to this concept. He says, teaches us, the entirety of your word is true. Doesn't leave anything out. Now God is just saying, hey, the whole truth is found in your Bible, okay? So we see, as comparison to the doctrines of men, so we see that the doctrines of men turn you from believing God's word, you see, and instead they start having you believe in fables. In fables. Fables and myths. They're short stories about animals or physical things. And they teach the moral principles of men. The moral principles of men. But those are removed from the spiritual teachings of the scripture. Because the scripture, as we'll see in many scriptures, lead you to salvation. Lead you to salvation. Not like a little story that goes no place, you see. And of course, a friend of mine was here because he told me, I guess it'd be safe to talk about, I'm not going to give the name, but you want to know about myths. There was the issue about sacrifices in the millennium. So he asked somebody about it, and the person, rather than talk about sacrifices in the millennium, where it's written in about three chapters in Ezekiel, laid out, okay, he said, the person tells him, oh, well, you see, a little girl had a little chicken, and she loved this little chicken, just really loved the little chicken. And one day she said, Daddy, where'd my little chicken? Oh, daughter, we sacrificed your little chicken, and you ate it for dinner. See? Now, it's a little mythical story to show, oh, sacrifices and they're bad. You don't have them in the millennium. You see? But it's a myth. It's a fairy tale. Didn't go into any scriptures to show, to try to refute three chapters of the Bible. You see that? So you don't want to be turned into these fables. So they turn you from the spiritual substance of scripture to cute, interesting little stories. It's one thing they do. So then, after you hear these fables, after a while, you fall asleep spiritually as you turn to the fables and the myths, you see? But that's bad. But it's, you know, it's better that you fall asleep in church. That's one thing. That's not real good, but it's not as bad as falling asleep spiritually. You see that? But that's only a symptom. There's a deeper problem that comes up there. The main error is that you are turning from the scriptures that lead you to salvation. That's our goal in life. That's what we're trying to achieve, you see. And that's what it says. It turns you from the truth. 2 Timothy 3:15, from childhood, Paul is telling Timothy, you have known the holy scriptures. He doesn't say, oh, you were taught a lot about the doctrines of men, right? He says, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation, to lead you to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So another example of the spiritual danger that comes from being duped into following the doctrines of men is found in John 18:38. Pilate's famous question to Jesus, what is truth? You see, that exhibits the concept of relativism. That basically means, look, don't talk to me about truth. What's true for you doesn't mean it's true for me, okay? Maybe the Bible tells you not to steal, but for me, once in a while, I have to because I need the money for gas for my Lincoln, okay? So, you see, what is truth? So it was really relativism that he was speaking about, like, what is truth? You know, how you're going to come to truth? But Jesus talks about the truth, see? In short, what it means when you come to that is that there's no such thing as truth then. If it's not truth for you and truth for me and truth for somebody else, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it's not truth. Truth is constant. It's consistent. It doesn't vary with, oh, that was last year, oh, but this is a different time today because we have more college students graduating, etc. No, truth is truth. So another example of spiritual dangers that come from accepting the doctrines of men is that over a period of time, these rise to an authoritative status, these doctrines of men, above that of Scripture, you see. So when a question arises about doctrine, see, rather than cite God's truth, which is in the Scripture, say, oh, here it is right here. You see, we have it in the doctrines of men, the doctrines of men. See? And if you look back, say, over the years, you'll find how they fought and they battled over different doctrine. Men did. I mean, literally fought. They had one of these big councils where all the men came together. And the group that was there threatened each one of them on the vote. They said, you shall vote this way, or you see this? We're going to smash you. Literally. We're going to beat the devil out of you. See? So they all voted for this one doctrine. They called it, it got so bad, you know what they call it? The robber's council. That's how bad. But it was the doctrine of men that came out beautifully written up, you see. So that's what happens. They cite the doctrines of men rather than the Scriptures. So it's much easier to do that, see, because the searching the Scriptures, it's job. You got to search here a little, there a little, back and forth, and you got to put together all the pieces, and you got to put together right, correctly. See, Isaiah 28, verses 10 and 13. Here a little, there a little. That's what you have to find in the Bible. You got to pull all the Scriptures together, but any particular doctrine to come to the truth. You don't just take one. That's not good enough, you see. Put them all together. So, here are the five examples of the consequences that flow from being duped into following the doctrines of men rather than the truth of the Scriptures. One, you can lose your reward. Two, you can worship God in vain. Three, you can be turned from the truth of God. Four, we talked about, you can begin believing in fables rather than God's word. And five, you can abolish God's truth altogether by saying, I'm just going to use reasoning. There is no truth. So we have seen that God warns us against following the doctrines of men. Failing to heed that warning can and eventually will lead to an ultimate adverse consequence. Adverse consequence. Now I got three examples here of the adverse consequences that following the doctrines of men can lead to. Okay? First, Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. Here Paul is speaking about Melchizedek. See? And Paul corrects the people in this. He says, of whom we have much to say, talking about Melchizedek, and hard to explain. You say, oh, well, that's because the Scriptures are very difficult. No, that's not the reason he's saying. It's not that the scriptures are difficult. He says, since you have become dull of hearing. Right? Dull of hearing. Now, some of us become dull of hearing with high notes and so on, high voices. But this is dull of hearing the spiritual word of God. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the very first fundamental principles of the oracles or the word of God. That's what happens when they didn't listen to God's word. They didn't really listen. Get it down. Try to put it together in the big picture. Where does this scripture fit? You see? So that's what happens. They got to go back and be taught again. See, because solid food, he talks about, are those who by reason of use, talking about God's word here and God's oracles, the oracles of God, who by reason of using these, meditating on them, thinking about them, not getting shunted off into myths and fables, the doctrines of men, by reason of youth, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, that's if you follow God's word. If you don't, you don't have that sense. A sense. In other words, if somebody says to you, let's go out and rob a bank, you don't say, oh, well, let me check in my scriptures here. I want to check the scriptures to see whether or not this is the right thing to do. You don't say that. You know by your senses, whoops, nope, that's wrong. See? Or you could say getting closer, maybe a little more close than that, you see. You got to say, nope, there's a party over there, you know. And I tell you what, you go over there, you're really going to be high, you know. A lot of stuff given away. You can sniff it. You can whatever you want to do, shoot it, whatever you want, see. Your senses got to just say right away, that's evil. No. Some things you don't have to check, you see. Who by reason they have their senses sharpened, but if you follow the traditions of men and the philosophies, your senses are not sharpened. And it says to discern good and evil. What does it bring to mind? That takes you right back to the Garden of Eden, to the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. That's not something long gone and past. That's still choice. That choice can still be made today, you see. So one understanding from the scripture, one understanding, is by virtue of learning the doctrines of men rather than searching God's word, the people became dull of hearing. Dull, right? God's word went in one ear, whoop, out the other ear, as we used to say, right? One ear and ear and out the other ear. See, the consequence of this, it seems, is that they're no longer led by God's Spirit, what Paul was talking about, this group. See? They didn't practice. It said they didn't have their senses sharpened of evil and what is good by reading God's word and hearing it and studying it, you see. They could no longer discern between what was evil choice and what was a godly choice. Now, you see the dangers in that? That almost sounds like you lapse back into a carnal mind. That's a carnal mind. They can't discern. That doesn't know. See, that's the danger, see, of not really following God's word, meditating on it, thinking about it, and so on, but following instead with men, right? Moon's made of green cheese. Oh, okay, yeah. Earth is flat. Oh, boing, boing. Bobbleheads. Yep. That's what it is. No, search the scriptures. Search. So when people become spiritual sleepy and disinterested in studying and acquiring an understanding of God's word, we used to say they lost their first love. When they first came in the church, we wanted to hear God's word. Oh, you know, they would have two services every day during the Feast of Tabernacles. And it could be raining. It could be ice cold down there in Texas and just miserable, right? Cold where we were sitting. Had to put on, a coat even, a heavy coat. But the people wanted to be there. They wanted to hear God's word. Oh, it was so wonderful. Oh, did you hear that truth? Did you hear this here? See? But people lose that sometimes. And we call it losing their first love. Losing their first love. And you have to understand that the concept of losing this love, this desire to know what God's word is, to put the big picture together from the beginning of God all the way down to the ultimate end of God the Father coming down to earth, you see, it doesn't occur. You don't lose that in a big flash of light, boom, in a big thunder. You don't sit down and say, I am going to lose. I'm not going to study anymore because I'm just tired of it. No, it doesn't come that way. It doesn't come with a big flash of light and noise. The event, it comes about silently, quietly, imperceptibly, little by little by little. You begin to, well, I don't think I really want to study God's word. A little confusing. A little bit old hack. I heard it. I know about it. You see? In Hebrews 2:1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed. We got to be more careful than ever, he's saying, to the things that we have learned, we have heard. That's God's word. God's word, not the word of man, that we have heard, lest we drift away. Drift away. I always like to use the example of when I was a kid at Fish Lake. The water was a little lake, absolutely calm. Yeah, calm. No waves, no movement. And they tethered the boat. We had a big rowboat. Tethered it, and pretty soon I was fishing off the pier, and I look and hear that boat had drifted way away. That line was taut. If I hadn't tied it down there, it would be the other side of the lake. See, but I couldn't see it. There was no current. There was no waves. There was nothing pushing. It was just drifting away, imperceptibly, unknown to me. And that's the same way you lose the love of God's word. You've got to keep that fire burning, you see. Secondly, what is another disastrous outcome that can arise, ultimate conclusion, very adverse, from being duped into following the doctrines of men? 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. The coming of the lawless ones. Now there's the epitome of evil here on earth, right? According to the working of Satan with all signs and powers and wonders and with all unrighteous deception amongst those who perish. Perish. There they are. They got all these experiments and these big miracles going on, and it's amongst the people who are going to perish. And why? Why are they going to perish? Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. Truth. What's truth? Thy word is truth, not the doctrines of men. That they might be saved. It's through the word of God that you can be saved. You don't want to lose that tethering, that focal point that you're tied to, that anchor that the Bible talks about, see? And for this reason, right? They did not have the love of the truth. Not Satan. God will send them strong delusions, that they should believe the lie, the traditions, the doctrines of men, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth. They did not believe what the Bible said. See? And they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, what that tells me is that this group, they didn't want to keep the word of God, because that told them this path of righteousness. You don't do this, or you do that, you don't do this. They didn't want that. They didn't want it. So they drifted away because they wanted to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, and the lust of the eyes. That's what that seems to tell us. And it led them from God's truth and caused them to believe a lie at the end time. There's a very major point here. This love of the truth is not just talking about knowing citations. You can't, oh, that scripture? That's where that is. I know where that is. I studied my little cards. Boy, I got that one memorized. You see, it's more than that. It's more than being able to recite a scripture. I remember one minister years and years ago. He got up in the pulpit, and he just wanted to show that you're supposed to kind of know God's word, and he recites the Ten Commandments without a note. See? Now, you see, that's not really having a love for the truth that you apply in your life or teach to others. That really glorified him. Look at me. I remembered every word of the Ten Commandments from the English translation. See? See, that's not the love of the truth that we're talking about here. Loving the truth goes a level beyond that, see, where you actually love the scriptures. You have a feeling for the scriptures. You want to read the scriptures. You want to study. Oh, I wish I had more time to study, see? And you enjoy studying the scriptures in order to learn the truth that they reveal. See, that's why I say you've got to put something together in the big picture. You can't just have this isolated point here and a point there, and they're just all scattered all over. It's like a bunch of junk all over the floor when you got kids, you know what I mean? Junk's all over the floor sometimes, see? You got to put it together in order, in sequence. You see, sometimes you stack the scriptures one after the other. Sometimes you stack the scriptures on top of each other. But you see, when you're doing that, then you're really building something. So thirdly, see, for a carnal-minded person to refuse to accept the truth is one thing. That's an evil. That's bad. Okay, carnal-minded, I don't want the truth and walks away from it. That's bad. But what is worse is that having received and understood the precious truth of God, the lost pearl, the pearl of lost price, something very valuable. See, you come to ignore it and cast it aside like something worthless, not of any value anymore. I don't want to hear about it, you see? That's worse yet. That's worse. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 to 22. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, I've learned the way of righteousness from God's word, and I'm going to follow it, and you start to follow it, and you obey God, and you keep his holy days, and you do the other things that are commanded of you, right? You've escaped the pollutions of the world, this evil world, Satan's world, and through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, through that knowledge, when they lose that, they are again entangled in the world's affairs, in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. Abandon God's word. Abandon any restraint that comes from God's Holy Spirit, you see. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning, once they've known the truth and they abandon it. For it would have been better for them not to have even known the way of righteousness. It kind of brings you back to Job or so on. Better not to even have been born, see, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment. See? But he says, but as it's happened, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow goes back to wallow in the mud again. That's God's word, not mine. So if they're a little harsh, please understand, blame God, don't blame me. Luke 9, verse 62, but Jesus said to them, no one, having put their hands to the plow, I want to be baptized, I'm going to obey Jesus Christ. God, you spoke through Jesus Christ, and he delivered your message. and I'm going to obey. Yes, I want to be baptized. Yes. No one, you put your hands to the plow. You became a soldier in God's army, right? You put your hand to the plow. You said, there, I'm going to really live my life. I used to go to a farm up in Wisconsin, and I saw where my uncle or whatever relative he was plowed acres and acres all down the line. See, beautiful. He plowed it. Okay? But you put your hand to the plow. No one that does that. That means the Christianity, that you're going to follow God and Jesus Christ, and you look back. You look back. You say, well, you know, that carnal life wasn't too bad, you know? Look back a little bit. You know, that was kind of fun. That was kind of a good time. He says, if you're going to do that, you've lost sight of the kingdom of God. You lost sight of everything that Jesus Christ and God have done for you. You see that? You lost light. He says, and looking back, he says, no one that does that is fit for the kingdom of God. See, this is a testing time, as we know, and that's part of the test. That's part of the test. If you want to go back to the old life, and that's where the beautiful scripture in Peter, I think it's 2 Peter, it says, let the life, you Gentile life you lived before, forget it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, just giving to reckless abandon and everything for the flesh. He said, enough is enough. That was enough before you got God's Spirit. No more. Quit it. They stop sinning. See, because once you start to look back, this is the test. You fail the test. If you keep looking back, I don't imagine it's one time, but if you continue in it, you see. So to the extent, in the event your love for the scripture may have dimmed, okay, rekindle a flame and forget the doctrines of men. Okay, rekindle a flame. So you should not be misled into thinking that you individually or the congregation can never be misled by the doctrines of men. You see, not me, buddy. Boy, am I founded in the scriptures. Yeah, not me. No danger for me, see. Maybe you consider yourself too well-founded. See? Paul admonishes Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. Preach the word. Get that? What is it saying? See, you go on and just read over those things. You want to read them carefully sometime. Preach the word. He doesn't say preach the doctrine of men. Preach the word that you find in your Bible over and over. That's the theme. Preach the word, for the time will come. That's pretty positive, right, of Paul. The time will come when they, and remember Paul's writing to Timothy about us. He's writing about us. When they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. It's in the Bible. I don't care. I don't care if it's in the Bible. You see? But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. I haven't had a chance to check that one out, but certainly it means they want to hear something different. They want to hear something different. They will heap to themselves teachers. Oh, you're going to keep preaching from the Bible? I'll just go where I can hear what I want to hear. See? And some ministers teach that. They don't want to say anything that's going to upset or rock the boat. They don't want that. No, we lose members, we lose tithing, et cetera, et cetera. No, that's not the way to go. See? That's not the way to go. They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. They'll go find the teachers that teach them what they want to hear, see? And they, the people, will turn their ears away from the truth. Away from the truth. And they will be turned by their teachers aside to fables, false stories that make you feel good. Here's another false story. Won't you feel good? Make sure you come back next Sabbath. I'll tell you more things that make you feel good. We don't want to hurt your feelings. We don't want to have you try to do something you don't want to do. Okay? Now, these fables of old were loaded with stories about false gods, not about God the Father and Jesus Christ, the begotten Son. False gods. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. Now the Spirit earnestly, God's Spirit earnestly says, earnestly, with desire, with meaning, the Spirit's saying, what? In the latter times, some will depart from the faith. See, that doesn't mean leave a congregation. That means the truth of God, the relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, you see, will depart from the faith and give heed to what? You want to hear something? You'll find it. Give heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrine of demons. You see, Satan is the god of this world. Satan has a church. Satan has ministers. Satan has a doctrine. So you want to hear something pleasing? You'll be happy with? God may say, there's your source. Just go to it if you want to abandon me. See? So the people will lose interest in the scriptures as being God's word. They lose sight of the fact that knowledge of God's word leads them to salvation. They lose that concept. It's gone. It is because the scriptures have become too familiar, maybe. Too familiar. You know, there's only so many thousand scriptures, right? And they become familiar. They become spiritual drowsy, and they fall into a spiritual sleep. They don't really hear the scriptures as the word of God anymore. Because, I've read that one many, many times in the Bible. And look, I even got it marked two or three times. I got it marked in yellow marker. I got it marked in red. That's how familiar I am with the scriptures. See, so I really don't have to kind of think about it or listen to it being read or anything else. I'm just too, you know, familiar with it, too familiar, you see. And then they grow, as the Bible said, they want to hear something new. I've heard that before. What else you got? Anything else? See, there's nothing really new. It's the same old scriptures. See, same old scriptures. A little more exciting. And Satan is eager to give you what you want to hear. There's an old country western song. It's beautiful. It's thank God for unanswered prayer. See? So don't necessarily pray, oh, God, give me something new to hear. He may say, fine, I will give you something new. How about this doctrine of demons, right? You'd like to hear that? See? In the country song, the guy wanted to marry this girl in high school. Oh, he loved her so much. Oh, God, please give her to me. Have her be my wife. And then they split. And then 10 years later, he has his family he's in love with another woman, and they got their family and so on. Then he sees this girl in high school, and her life is absolutely a mess. And that's where he says, thank you, God, for unanswered prayer. Of course, we can have a deeper meaning than that, but that's the point. So in Jeremiah 5:31, it says, the prophets prophesy falsely, falsely. Scripture says A, they say B, right? And the priests rule by their own power, political power, not by the power of God, permission of God, the appointment of God. It says, and my people love to have it so. Some of these people, you see, you drift away. That's what you want. You want the false teachings. You want to hear what you want to hear. But you got to hear God's word, you see, or you will be given to what you don't want to hear. So be alert that you are not led away from God's truth by the doctrines of men. So what is one way to assure yourself you will not be deceived into believing false doctrines based upon the doctrine of men? Paul and Silas had to escape from Thessalonica. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And they took refuge in Berea. While in Berea, Paul made the following observation. Acts 17, 11, verses 11 and 12. Those were more fair-minded in Berea than those in Thessalonica. Now, why? Why were they more fair-minded? What was the point behind that? In that they received the word, not the doctrines of men, the word of God. That's what I'm saying. You don't just read over certain things. The word of God with all readiness of mind. Oh, I want to absorb that. They had the first love. I want to know about that. What does he say? What more is there in the Bible? You see? And search the scriptures daily to find out whether or not those things were so. They just didn't accept and believe in the doctrines of men. They searched God's word as the word of God. And that was the ultimate standard. That set the truth. You see? And see, you have to come to the conviction that the scriptures are your source of ultimate truth. Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony. Again, God's word, right? Going back to that. If they do not speak according to this word, again, the word of God, not the doctrines of men. If they don't speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Mr. Velasquez spoke about that today. No light in them. What is this light? What is this light? It's the Spirit of God within us. That's the light. As I mentioned during the feast, you know, God is sitting up on his throne, way up in the heavens, and he looks down, and here's this sin-filled earth, the kingdom of Satan. And that is what? That's darkness. Darkness is what indicates the kingdom of Satan. So he looks down, and it's pitch dark, except for little points of light, little points of glittering light. What are those little points of light? They're you. That's what I brought out, you. You're the points of light. Your light shines forth. That's what he sees, you see. So if they don't speak according to this word, there's no light in them. 1 Timothy 3:15, the foundation of the whole church is truth, see? God's word is truth, and the doctrines of men may have some truth, but they are not the truth, okay? Matthew 24:24, the scripture warns us about miracles and great signs. They are not a substitute for the truth of God's word. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the NIV, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He'll use all sorts of displays of power, signs, and wonders that serve the lie, you see. Now, did you realize or know that God tells you to believe in the scripture? That's even more important than a person returning from the dead, right? And that's pretty, you go down to the cemetery, somebody rises from the dead, you're going to be, you would think, pretty convinced. When I first started to study the Bible, it talked about the resurrection and rebellion. I thought, well, I got that wrong. It must be wrong. Because obviously, if you got a resurrection and people see the dead arise, there's no way they're going to rebel. But that's false. It's not what the doctrine says, you see. So where does it tell us in the Bible? Luke 16:29-31. That's Abraham and Lazarus. Remember? The rich man. See, the rich man is over supposedly in flames and in torment and so on. Okay? And he's talking to Abraham. And Abraham is with Lazarus. And the rich man says, Abraham, Abraham, I tell you what, Abraham, Send, get Lazarus up, resurrect him, and send him to my brothers. Then they can warn them that they don't come to the place where I am, in this place of torment. Okay? And Abraham, in this parable, he says, no, I'm not going to send somebody back there. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. You get that? We don't want to send somebody from the dead. They have Moses to read and the prophets. Now, that's interesting, see? No, not going to send somebody dead back. Let them hear them. And he says, the rich man says, no, Father Abraham, no, you got to understand. If one goes to them from the dead, oh, they will surely repent. Boy, they will change their views and they won't end up where I am, right? But Abraham said to him, what did he say? What are the inspired words that God wants to get across here? If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, the word of God, neither will they be persuaded till one is raised from the dead. That's the power of God's word over and above miracles, etc. In Matthew 4, consider that what did Jesus do when he had the great confrontation with Satan? What did he do? We don't ask ourselves, what did Jesus do? And we all discover, well, I think Jesus would do this or that. No, we look to the Bible to see what Jesus did. What did he do in the great confrontation with Satan? He did not cite the doctrines of men. He kept citing scripture to refute Satan. The truth of God, the word of God, not the doctrines of men. So how important, to sum into the Bible, this would be kind of closing now, consider the word of God as distinguished from the doctrines of men. In Psalms 119, 97, verse 97, David said, oh, how I love your law. Remember we talked about losing the love of God's truth? David said, I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. He thought about it. He thought about it. How does it apply? How does it apply there? Why did God tell us this? Why did he tell us that? You see? And Paul, even while sitting in prison and awaiting his death sentence, waiting for the sentence to be pronounced, he wasn't too sure what it was going to be yet, but he knew that there was being considered death, had God's word on his mind, even at that time. This is not sitting now in this beautiful palace that he did before in the book of Acts. This now is Timothy he's writing, and now he's in a dark and dank prison. Very, very adverse conditions, you see. But here's what Paul had on his mind. Paul beseeches Timothy, come to me quickly, quickly. Bring the cloak. See, verse 21, why? Because it's cold. See, it was cold and dank. He says, before winter, the one that I left with Capus in Taurus, bring that. When you come, and the books, and the books. And especially the parchments, especially, above all, okay? Now, there are numerous theories what this was about. I tried to check a lot of them, and I kind of draw this conclusion from it, okay? Because he talked about especially the parchments, especially the parchment. Now, the books he talked about, books seemed to be scrolls. Perhaps documents made of papyrus. They could have been blank for something to write on, because we know Paul wrote certain letters from prison when he was in prison. Okay? So the books could be that, the papyrus, blank to write on. The parchments were scrolls. See, they were leather scrolls made of animal skin. It stemmed from Pergama, where the concept was invented on how you can make skins and write on them. Now, some speculate that these could contain the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, because he did quote that. See, and some portions of the Old Testament or even copies of Paul's letter. So that shows how some of the men really had a love for God's word, even at the time where he was, where there was nothing left in life and was coming to the end, his mind was on God's word, not the doctrines of men. So in closing, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. Profitable for doctrine. It doesn't speak about the doctrines, commandments, and traditions or creeds of men. So scripture is profitable for doctrine. You just go back, get your first love, and love to study the scripture. But in there we find the truth that leads to salvation.